In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is what's known in the church as the Sunday of Zacchaeus, for obvious reasons, the gospel reading that we just heard. And it comes at different times according to which typikon, or order of services, any particular church happens to be following. For instance, in the Slavic churches, and on Mount Athos, the Sunday of Zacchaeus always comes immediately before the beginning of the Triodian period, the Sunday of the publican and Pharisee. But yet in the Byzantine tradition, going back about to the time of St. Gregory Palamas, Sunday of Zacchaeus is always the 15th Sunday of Luke and could come even, I think last year, it was about 3 weeks before the Triodian started, which is a little bit unusual, but yet that's just the way it is, the way the typikon works out, because we do what's called, as we mentioned before, in fall, we do what's called the Lucan jump, which means we stop whatever we're reading after the beheading of St. John the Baptist and begin going into the stories of Luke, which lead us into Nativity. And Luke continues on out through almost till the beginning of Lent. We have the Gospel of St. Matthew, I believe, for next week. But it's an important Sunday, and one that the church has put in this position before Lent, like a flare going off, because Lent's around the corner. It's not here yet, but it's getting closer. But it brings to mind the very idea of a sort of completion as to what we've had these last few weeks. We talked about it a little bit last week and even the week before in terms of the birth of Christ, the baptism of Christ, the call to repentance by John, the great Gospels during Theophany. And now we come to something which is really important for each one of us, and that involves our own conversions. We don't know much about Zacchaeus, okay? We know he was a publican. We know he was not just a publican, but the chief publican. He was the head of all the tax collectors. And we've talked again about how the tax collectors were certainly despised, not only because they were notorious for skimming off the top, but also because they were representatives of the Roman Empire. So it actually put them in a position that was antithetical to the people of Israel. So they were not very well liked at that time. And this Zacchaeus evidently had done a lot of skimming, because the gospel is sort of abrupt at this point, because it talks about how he was the chief publican, and then it says, and he was rich. I always just get amused when I come to that line in the gospel, and he was rich, as to hammer that home, that this guy had made a lot of money. Now, maybe he felt he had to go overboard because of his short stature, which the gospel also takes pains to point out that he was a very short guy. Now, we don't know exactly what led Zacchaeus to do what he did, to climb up into the sycamore tree to see Christ. Had he had some sort of problem, whereas he had realized how badly he had behaved because of all the things that he had been doing in the city at that time? This was Jericho, after all. This was a major city on the road from Jerusalem to Galilee. This was the Lord's territory, if you will. The Lord was very familiar with this area, was very popular in that area, unlike some of the other cities that he went into. And so there was a huge crowd following him, as always. And Zacchaeus had obviously heard about Jesus. Must have heard about many of the miracles, the things that had been done. You can imagine the rumors that go around. I mean, think of the rumors that go around today, the stuff that pops up on Facebook and everywhere. It's all of a sudden, it's there, and all these crazy things come out. Well, back then when you didn't have this kind of thing, it was all word of mouth. And of course, every word going to every mouth became augmented from that point. And so who knows what Zacchaeus had actually heard and what he was expecting in terms of seeing Jesus, but somehow he knew that he had to see him. He wanted to see him. He didn't have to do this. This was a man, again, we don't know what may have led to the idea of his all of a sudden desiring to see the Lord, because as a publican and as a despised man in the city, but yet one that also probably had many, many friends as well, there was no necessity for him to go and seek this man out. And in fact, what he did is so extraordinary. If you can just transfer that whole idea till today, if Jesus was walking through the streets of Buford, this would be like the mayor of Buford climbing up into a tree to see him. This is a guy who is high up in the pecking order in this city, someone who was feared, probably not respected, but knew that you had to cultivate a certain relationship with him if you didn't want to get robbed blind when tax time came due. So Zacchaeus climbs into this tree, and people must have been astonished to see this. What, you know, what is he doing way up in this sycamore tree? But he wanted to see the Lord so badly. Something had stricken him. Something had gotten into his heart and turned it around and said, this is a man that I must meet. And he didn't meet him as any kind of official. He didn't meet him as someone important in the town. He met him as someone sitting up in a tree. And who knows what the Lord thought. There's no indication that the Lord honed in on him from afar and was calling out to him. There was nothing like that. No, the Lord walks by him, probably swarmed with other people, probably looking at the ground, and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I must come to your house today. Did Zacchaeus think that he was hearing something? I mean, what? He's up in a tree, and the Lord is down there. Zacchaeus, come down. Come down. Come to me, for I am coming to your house. Salvation is coming to your house today. And of course, what do we usually hear from the bystanders? They've already judged Zacchaeus because they can't stand the guy. But now they're judging the Lord as well. They're judging their Creator, saying, he's going to eat with sinners. Oh, my goodness. Instead of saying something like, boy, this is wonderful. This is an incredible thing. He's meeting with this guy. Maybe he's going to change him. Who knows? But no, it's always the holier-than-thou thing, isn't it? He's going to meet with sinners. But yet, as testament to what Zacchaeus had done, he says, Lord, half of what I own, I'm going to give to the poor. And of the other half, I will restore to anyone I have defrauded four times over. So here we see the flip side of the conversion process, don't we? It's easy for us, and you know, for many of us who have gone through these times of trial and testimony and seeking out God and coming to a moment when we realize that we must turn our hearts to God, it's very easy to ride the tidal wave of first fervency as we zip along and we're so excited about all these things and this is just wonderful. It's just so wonderful, and I'm with God now, and blah, blah, blah. But as we see from Zacchaeus, there must be some sort of consequence to the conversion. There has to be some sort of testimony, sacrificial offering on our part, which shows that the Spirit of Jesus Christ had entered into our hearts. And with Zacchaeus, it was immediate. He knew what he had to do. He knew. Now, no doubt, all of us at some point or another in our lives have defrauded someone else. Okay, maybe not out of $500,000 or something like that, but did you take somebody's pen when it wasn't yours? You know, did you keep something when you knew you shouldn't have? You know, did you deceive someone somehow because it was far more comfortable to do that than to meet them head on and discuss the situation? These are all ways that we defraud each other. But yet, would we have turned around and done what Zacchaeus did correspondingly? He obviously had a lot of money, and he gave a lot of money away now simply because of his meeting with the Lord. He was touched in the heart. The conversion was complete, and he knew that this was something that he had to do out of love for Christ. Not that it was necessarily an obligation from a legal standpoint because he had defrauded someone, but because it was simply the right thing to do. It was the right thing. This is what the church calls us to reflect upon during this time period. This whole idea of recommitment, this whole idea of looking forward. Again, we know that Lent is just a few weeks out, and that's a time of year that's very strenuous. As I've said many times here, even if you don't pay any attention to it, the devil is. And even if you're ignoring the fast, he's watching. Because this is a great time of spiritual effort in the church. The devil doesn't like that. And so he's going to come after you whether you're prepared for it or not. A lot of things tend to happen during the Lenten season. It's very, very strange. But yet, we have to commit ourselves to enter upon this struggle, to restore to God all that we have defrauded Him of, all of the prayers that we have not offered, all of the works of charity in His name that we have not done. There are so many things that we owe God, and yet we hold back for different reasons and different times. And we probably think, well, this is a good reason, you know. At the time we're thinking about, you know, well, I'm not praying, but I had to do this, that, or the other, and we just kind of let it go. We don't think about it in terms of defrauding God, but that's exactly what it is. And the Lord shows us that today. He summons us. All of us are up in that tree, every one of us. And He's looking at each one of us and saying, come down. Come down here. Don't remain aloof. Don't remain at a distance. Come and participate. Come and be with me, because I'm coming to your house. I'm coming. And you need to be there, because this is the day that salvation comes to your home. Zacchaeus, by the way, according to the Synaxarian of the church, became a bishop in his later life. So all of these things that happened to him were not for naught. They all multiplied inside him until the apostles themselves ordained him a bishop. So it's a remarkable story. This man who converted in a way that we don't know. It's not like St. Paul. We seem to get every little piece of his story before his conversion. We know what he was. We know what he was thinking. We know what he did. We know what he became. With Zacchaeus, it's not that way. Zacchaeus simply heard the word. And it was just mere curiosity. It was something that affected him, that struck him in the heart, that quickened him, and made him realize that the time for change was now. And he didn't even know what it was going to be. I'm sure that when he was climbing up that tree, he didn't know that when he was climbing down it, he was going to be a lot poorer. But that's exactly what happened. Poorer in money, but he gained the riches of the kingdom of heaven, to which all of us must aspire. Amen.